Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Is what? That the same Spirit that was in Christ gets in you. If the same Spirit that was in Christ dwelleth in you, it will quicken your mortal body. Jesus promises us that we will receive the Holy Spirit just as he did. This is a profound statement by Christ in John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Now, Jesus didn't just speak about it. He stood and cried. He got excited about it. He was talking about the availability of the Holy Spirit coming in to a mortal man. He stood and cried, said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You see, the Holy Spirit was not given while Christ walked on this earth. The Bible said he breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. But they didn't receive it at that time. It was prophetic, something that was going to happen to them. But Jesus said the key to receiving the Holy Spirit is believing on Christ as the scripture has said. Not as the Baptist church said, or the Pentecostal, or the Catholic, but as the scripture has said. And when you begin to research what the Bible says about Christ, it is illuminating. You begin to understand that he is the Alpha, the beginning. He is the Omega. He is the understand that Christ is the man of the living God. On that, and think on that, a statement in your life. And you begin to understand that Christ came to this world for one purpose, and that was to save you. He loved you so much that he came all the way from heaven. And you begin to think about that. He said the Spirit of God will come in you, not just on you, but in you. And when it comes in you, he said it will quicken, it will change your mortal body. And so the Bible teaches us in Acts 1 and 8, just before Jesus Christ left, he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, Jesus gave us a little parable, a little story about a woman that had a wonderful fortune wrapped up in priceless coins. And she brought those coins to the circumstance and situation. But when she got there, she found out that one coin was missing. And she called for a light. She called for help, and she began to search the house looking for that lost coin. The truth is, the church today feels like if we have 9/10 of it, it's all right. If we have part of it, it's all right. But the truth is, we need the whole of the gospel. And what is missing in most churches is the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no substitute for the Holy Ghost. There's no singer that can sing well enough that it is a substitute for the Holy Spirit. There is no preacher that can preach good enough that he is so profound that he can replace the Holy Spirit. There is no man rich enough that he can write a check big enough that it will replace the Holy Spirit. When we come into this house, we should come for the purpose of seeking and entertaining the Holy Spirit. God, more than anything at Living Way Church, we want the Holy Spirit to be here. Why? Because it is that anointing that changed Christ. The Bible said that Jesus stood in the temple and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. It was not flesh and blood. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that every problem that is represented in this building today can be resolved by the power of the Holy Spirit and no other way. It can't be resolved by counseling. It can't be resolved by intellect. The Bible said that God said it's not by might and it's not by power. What is that might? The might of money. It is the power, the might of money. He said, that's not going to do it. The power of politics. You know, I'm always amazed that people want to get into politics. And hopefully some of them really want to help this nation. But I'm afraid that many of them, it is the power. They crave the power. Some want the money that is involved. And so talking about God's church, God said, it's not the might of money. It's not the power of politics. But he said, it is by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need at Living Way Church, as every church in America needs, is the power of the Holy Spirit. That we would just come into this house and we would entice God's Spirit. The Bible gives us two warnings about the Holy Spirit. It said, quench not the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't stop the Holy Spirit. And then it said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't offend the Holy Spirit. Everything we do when we come into God's house, it should be to entice the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible said he inhabits the praise of his people. When you begin to come into God's house and you begin to sing, it should not be that you would be putting your voice on display or you would be entertaining someone. I am singing today. I am worshiping today for one purpose, and that I would entice the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would not be quenched, it would not be offended, it would not be grieved. Because if the Holy Spirit is allowed to come into this house, you know what it will do? It will search the heart of man. Before it leaves, the heart will be perfect before God. You know what the Holy Spirit will do? It will quicken your mortal body, make alive your body. What we need is the power of the Holy Spirit. If we could have the intensity of the Holy Spirit that the Father desires us to have, there would be healings happen all over this building, not just a few at an altar, but on the back seat, in the middle of the auditorium. People's bodies would be healed, and suddenly they would know what the doctors couldn't fix, the Holy Spirit has done. He's healed my body. He's touched my lungs. He's touched my body. He's healed me. He's touched my eyes. He's touched my blood pressure. And ladies and gentlemen, you, my friend, are a catalyst for that. That's your responsibility when you come. We have people up here worshiping the Lord. But this is just a few people. Every one of you that are born-again Christians should be recipients of the Holy Spirit and conduits of the Holy Spirit, and you ought to come into this building with that in mind, that God has promised us that the Holy Spirit will come into this human body. And so I'm going to worship God until God comes in. I'm going to praise God until God's Spirit descends upon this congregation, because it's not might, it's not power, it's not preaching, it's not singing, it's God's Holy Spirit. And so when you study the Bible, you will find that Christ is a tremendous advocate for every believer to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because we understand that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy and peace. What? In the Holy Ghost. Paul would write to the Galatians, because not only was Christ an advocate for every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but Paul was also an advocate for the same thing. He would write to the church in Galatia, and he would say, you should have the Holy Spirit. Oh, no, he said more than that. He said, who has bewitched you? In other words, what kind of demon spirit has told you that you could now leave the power of the Holy Spirit? Because he said you began in the Holy Spirit, and now do you think that you can be complete in the flesh? Ladies and gentlemen, there is no completion of God's sanctification outside of the Holy Spirit. We must seek God's Holy Spirit and say, God, come into our being. It will quicken our mortal being. The Bible teaches that there is enmity between the flesh and the spirit. And so the flesh must die, that the Spirit of God must live. And God wants this place to be filled with his Holy Spirit, because no man can be changed simply by the philosophy of another man or the teaching of another man or the desire of another person. The only thing that can transform us is the power of the Holy Spirit. And in just a twinkling of an eye, God's Holy Spirit can change the human heart. He can make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. So he said, if that same spirit that was in Christ is in you, it will quicken or make alive your mortal body. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the reason this church is drastically different than most churches you will go to, is because we are on a quest for the Holy Spirit. Jesus, have your way. Most churches have a program, and their entire thing is just to go through that program. There's a church I watch. It certainly comes on at a time where it's convenient for me, and I watch it. And I'm amazed. I can't quit watching it because it is so devoid of God's presence. And these people are so sincere, but they are so ignorant of the things of God, that God's presence is never invited. God's presence is never allowed. God's Spirit never moves. Every week they go through the exact same program, which lasts exactly 1 hour, but nobody's ever changed. But they are just religious people. God wants you to have more than religion. He wants you to be set on fire of the Holy Spirit. He wants the Holy Spirit to come on you and to come in you. And that's God's plan. And that's what Jesus Christ was an advocate for. And that's what the Apostle Peter was an advocate for. Getting the gospel to the generation that they were a prisoner of was a difficult task, just like it is today. Because the Jews felt like their religion was sufficient. You know, everybody feels like their religion is sufficient. You know, I've got my religion. Friend, religion is not sufficient. You must have an invasion of the Creator, an invasion of the Holy Spirit, an invasion of the living God. That's what changes us. And so Peter, when he would talk to the Jews, they simply could not understand it. Racism has always been a part of the human family, and the Jews felt like they were superior to the Gentiles. And they felt like they had a corner on religion. And they were right, and everybody else was wrong. And when Peter went down to the household of Cornelius, he began to preach. And his message was revolutionary because he preached this: I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That flew in the face of Judaism, and all the Jews believed. Because they believe that God was a respecter of persons. There's people today that believe that. They believe that certain groups, that God respects them. The Bible teaches us there is neither bond nor free, male nor female. There is neither Gentile nor Jew. It comes down to one thing, and that is, if the same spirit that was in Christ is in you. That's my question to you today. Is not, are you Pentecostal or Catholic or Baptist or Presbyterian or Jehovah's Witness? My question is, does the same spirit that was in Christ, does it dwell in you? Friend, because that's God's. This promise is unto you, your children, and all that are afar off. God is no respecter of persons. And the Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost fell. Years ago, I was invited to a church down in Robstown. That's down by Corpus Christi. And the reason I was invited there is because the pastor and his wife and his daughter visited our church on Saturday night. They would drive all the way from Robstown up here to come on Saturday night. And the pastor invited me to come and preach to that little church. I was reminded of this because I was on the phone with Broadway Bank the other day, and this young girl said, do you remember the pastor and his wife and little girl that came to your church on Saturday nights and you came to Robstown and preached in the church? I said, I remember that. She said, I was the little girl. I was the little girl. We were on the phone doing business. And so anyway, I was invited. Somehow I thought it was a Baptist church. There are many Baptists today that are spirit-filled, but doctrinally in the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the parent of most Baptists, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit or speaking with tongues. And so I thought it was a Baptist. I mean, I thought it was an Assembly of God church. Excuse me. I thought it was an Assembly of God church. If you know anything about the Assembly of God, they're much like Living Way. Their doctrine is almost identical with ours. And so I thought it was an Assembly of God church. And so I didn't want to be offensive. And so I preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit in what I thought was that Assembly of God church in Robstown. And while I was preaching, it was just like when Peter preached at Cornelius' household. People just stood to their feet and lifted their hands and started receiving the Holy Spirit all over the building. There must have been 75 people while I was preaching that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit without an altar call or without coming forward. I was just excited. I thought, these are probably Assembly of God people that are being renewed in the Holy Spirit or have been raised in the church. And so we got back in the office, and I said to the pastor, I said, how long have you been in the Assembly of God? He said, Assembly of God? He said, we're Baptist. He said, we never heard anything like you preach today. And he said, those people that received the Holy Spirit, they had never heard of it before in their life. Well, that's exactly the way it was when Peter preached to Cornelius' household. And the Bible said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. And the Jews had decided that the Gentiles would be limited partners. They might come to church, but number one, they couldn't receive the Holy Spirit. Number two, they couldn't be baptized in water. And number three, they could not contribute financially. They were going to be second-class citizens. There's always been racism in the world, and there's always been racism around the church. But the Holy Spirit changed all of that. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And ladies and gentlemen, God's got a plan. This world is in a mess. It is the biggest mess I've ever seen. But let me tell you this, God ain't through yet. And God can do in a moment what man can't do in 50 years. And there is tucked in the Word of God, it is tucked in the book of Joel, the minor prophet, and the Apostle Peter preached it on Pentecost, that in the last days, God is going to pour out His Spirit. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that there is going to be a move of the Holy Spirit in this world that humanity has never, ever seen. And you and I ought to be a catalyst for that. We have a responsibility because we know what the world doesn't know, and we know what many church people don't know. We ought to be doing everything we can to attract the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is able to go behind the iron curtain, the bamboo curtain. It's able to go from nation to nation and do its work. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to do it physically. We can begin to work in the Holy Spirit. When I was in upstate New York, there was a Catholic church there. And that Catholic church was a typical Catholic church, except a few of the Catholic people in that church had received the Holy Spirit. And the priest was a benevolent sort of guy. And so he said, I'll tell you what, we are going to give you the basement of the church. He said, if you're not comfortable in our mass because you now speak in tongues, he said, you can have your little service in the basement. And so they began to have a little service in the basement. There'd be about 400 people at Mass and about 15 people downstairs having their little service. But after a while, the people in the Mass started going down the stairs. And the next thing you know, there's about 15 people in the Mass and about 400 people downstairs in the power of the Holy Spirit. What are you saying? I'm saying the Holy Spirit can fix religion just like that. And He's going to do that, ladies and gentlemen. God's not out of ideas. God is not wringing His hands. God does not have blisters on His brain. God is not walking around to Gabriel and Michael and saying, I don't know what's happened. This thing is not working like it's supposed to. God saw the end from the beginning. And He said, in the last days, I'm going to pour out My Spirit. But you and I need to be realizing that we are the catalyst for the Holy Spirit. And God wants to move through us. And Jesus Christ did all of these miracles because the anointing was on Him. Most of you in this building have received the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And now it's your responsibility not to quench it, not to grieve it, but to allow the Holy Spirit to quicken your mortal bodies. Can I suggest to you that your greatest ministry is not on this platform or not in that pew, that your greatest ministry should be on your job, that you ought to be able to go to a hospital or a nursing home or a jail and have revival wherever you are, because the same Spirit that was in Christ is now in you. What did it do? He was dead, but it rose him from the dead. It resurrected him. If that same Spirit could do that for Christ, what can it do for you? What can it do for you? My friend was preaching in his church in North Carolina, and all of a sudden, way back toward the back, a man fell out of the pew. He thought he was slain in the spirit, and there were some nurses there, and they sent word to him, said, he's not in the spirit, he's dead. Said he died. They called the ambulance, and the ambulance came and took him to the hospital. And the pastor left, and the assistant pastor came to the pulpit and finished the service. And while he was conducting the service, the pastor came back in, and coming with him was that dead man. I said, Johnny, what happened? He said, I went into that hospital and said the doctors gave up and pronounced him dead. And I said, is he dead? They said, yeah. He said, I can't hurt anything. Let me pray for him. And he said, I began to pray for him, and his eyes opened. His eyes opened, and he began to speak, and he sat up and said, the doctors checked him and said, there's nothing wrong with you, sir. You're free to go. He came right back in that same service he had died in. You said, oh, things like that can't happen. Oh, yes, they can, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is in this room right now. And if you will entice him and attract him and not grieve him and not quench him, you can be healed right where you are sitting. You can be filled right where you are sitting. The Holy Spirit is going from person to person in this building. And you know, Jesus' greatest question was that he always asked people, will you be made whole? And that's what Christ is saying in this room right now. Will you be made whole? Can you accept the power of the Holy Spirit? My brother-in-law, Gary Keller, told me yesterday on the phone, he said, me and Carl McKellar was in a service recently, and he said, there in South Bend, Indiana, he said, a man was taken out dead, out of our service. He died while we were having church. And he said, as Carl and I walked to that hospital, he said, it just happened that there was a light shining, and Carl said to me, he said, Gary, look, there's our shadow. He said, you know what just came to my mind? He said, when Peter's shadow passed over people, they were healed. He said, Gary, the Lord just spoke to me that we're going to walk into this room and we're going to lay hands on this man that is dead, and God is going to bring him to life. And Gary said, we walked into that room and said, we laid hands on him, and he's literally jumped out of that hospital bed and said, what am I doing here? You said, oh, things don't happen like that anymore. There's going to be an intensifying of what God is doing. Greater miracles than you've ever seen are going to come to pass. And God is saying to us in the name of Jesus, quench not my spirit. Begin to exercise the Holy Ghost that is in you. The Holy Ghost is not just to make you shout and dance and speak in tongues. It'll do that, but it's also to heal the sick and to raise the dead and change circumstance. I challenge you to come into your own. I challenge you to realize who you are. The same Spirit that was in Christ is inside of you right now, and God is saying, this is your day and this is your hour for your ministry to come to fruition, and the Holy Spirit is bursting to get out. You can't put new wine in old bottles. The Holy Spirit is bursting to get out of you. I've said this before, but we ought to be able to track you all over town. Everywhere you go, there ought to be people getting saved. Since she's been here, that man just got saved. He's been here, that man just got healed. ladies and gentlemen, you're not just a Christian. You're not just religious. You've got the same spirit that was in Christ. There's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. There's no demon that is strong enough to come against you. You are filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And you need to begin to change your family and change your neighborhood and change your workplace, because you are a part of what God is doing in this last days. He's made you alive with the Holy Spirit. He's made you alive with the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in the Old Testament, God said, I've got two things against you. These are the two things. He said, you have forsaken the wells of living water, and you've hewn your own cisterns, and they don't have living water. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot substitute for the Holy Spirit. Music won't do it. I told somebody the other day, they said, what do you think about this service they were in? I said, I think people are worshiping music more than worshiping God. They had the greatest voices. They were singing. They were so skillful. But the people were just enshrined by the music. But people really weren't worshiping God. Music can't replace the Holy Spirit. Preaching can't replace the Holy Spirit. What's inside of you is irreplaceable. It can't be replaced. You are a living depository of the Holy Spirit. Your hands ought to be on fire. Your voice ought to be aflame. You have been saved, gloriously saved. Quench not the Spirit. The Bible talks about the strong man. And he said, nobody comes in to rob unless the strong man is bound. And friend, there is inside of you a strong man. Don't let the things of this world bind that strong man. Can I suggest to you, can I announce to you, can I declare to you that what is in you is the strongest force in the universe. It is the Spirit of the living God. It's the same Spirit of creation. You are a new creation. You are a new creature. Speak it out. Release it. Talk about it. Begin to acknowledge what was in Christ is in me. If it can raise him from the dead, it can bring me out of bankruptcy. It can bring me out of debt. It can bring me out of fear. It can bring me out of sickness. He is more than able, and he is inside of me. I am a miracle worker because I am anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. It lives inside of me. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't know about that. I've never tried that. Let me ask you this. What skills do you have? What skills do you have? Let me ask you this. Were you great at that skill the first time you tried it? Or did you have to try it over and over and over again? Tim Duncan didn't start playing basketball until he was a teenager, and he became one of the greatest that's ever lived. But it wasn't immediate. He had to develop that skill. The Bible said, by reason of use, you have the senses, talking about the Holy Spirit, exercised. You said, I'd be afraid to pray for them because they might not get healed. Don't be afraid. Pray for them. Pray for every sick person you see. Witness to every lost person you see. You say, well, it might not work, but it might just work too. Even Jesus could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. It's all right if everybody don't get healed as long as somebody gets healed. Everybody's not going to get saved, but somebody's going to get saved. Friend, I'm telling you that you are the body of Christ. You're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not just a churchgoer. You're not just a member of Living Way. The same Spirit that was in Christ is in you. Act like it. Act like it. Everywhere you go, expect miracles. Expect miracles where you go. You know, when I was a young evangelist, just getting started, this was kind of a common thing. The pastor would always say this, almost always, in these little old dead churches I was going to. He'd say, now, we know the evangelist has not brought the revival. He's just a preacher, and he has a brother. And so I would get up, and I said, I hate to do this right off, to contradict your pastor. But let me tell you what, I've brought the revival. The revival is inside of me. I said, you see these hands? I'm going to lay hands on people and they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. They're going to get healed. And I would just begin to tell them, yes, I am going to change the atmosphere of this church. Friend, if you get filled with the same spirit that was in Jesus and Peter and Paul and John, if you get filled with that same spirit, you can change every circumstance you come up against. You are not a normal person. You are abnormal. You've been saved. You've been covered by the blood. You've been forgiven. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You've got the name that is above every name. You're covered in the blood. The Holy Ghost is oozing out every pore of your skin. You ought to raise the dead once in a while. You ought to heal the sick once in a while. You ought to cause the lost to be saved once in a while. You are something because the same spirit that was in Christ is now in you. And Jesus knew that. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's just an amazing thing. I was called to go to the hospital. I don't know the name of that hospital. It's a real small hospital. It's out on I-10 by Hebner. Specializes, I think, in heart. But I had done business with a family, and he was an alcoholic. I never saw him that he didn't have a drink in his hand. He's a functioning alcoholic. And so his wife called me and she said, Steve, she said, I don't know nothing about your religion, but I just know every time I was around you, I felt something. And she said, Stanley, that was her husband, said, Stanley is dying over here at this hospital. Is there any way you can go over there today and pray for him? Now, this man was not a believer. He was an alcoholic. He was profane in his conversation. And when I got to that hospital, the doctor says it's just a matter of moments or hours and it'd be over. He was totally unconscious. And everyone in that room was an unbeliever. Wasn't one Christian, just me and the family and him. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, and put my head on Stanley's head. And when I did, he'd been in a coma for days. His eyes opened. And Stanley said, Steve, what are you doing here? I said, raising the dead. And Stanley sat up in bed, and within 15 minutes, he was fully dressed and in the parking lot. His family never, ever forgot that. It changed the entire family. Friend, you say, that was because it was you. No, that was because it was Jesus. It don't matter about you. And you know one of the tools the devil uses to keep you from being who you are and doing what he's created you to do is condemnation. He says, well, you're not holy enough, and you're not godly enough, and you've got too many mistakes in your past. That is a lie, because it's not your flesh that is working the miracle anyway. It's the perfect spirit that is in you that is working the miracle. And say, God is going to use me to raise this person from the dead. God is going to use me to heal this person. God is going to use me to lead this person to Christ. Friend, you need to quit accentuating your flesh and begin to accentuate what happened to you. Friend, I'm going to tell you what, I ain't perfect, but boy, I've had some experiences with God. I really got saved. I really got filled with the Holy Spirit. And God has put his spirit inside of me. And there is no telling how God is going to use me in the last days. And there's no telling how God is going to use you in the last days. So quit talking about your flesh and start talking about the same spirit that was in Christ is in me. And here I come. I'm getting ready to heal some sick and raise some dead and turn around some circumstance and situation in Jesus' name. Will you stand on your feet right now and lift your hand and give God some praise? Oh, hallelujah. The devil doesn't want you to know who you are, and the devil doesn't want you to know what you have. Those are the two things that the devil wants to keep you ignorant of. He doesn't want you to know who you are. The Bible said you're the Son of God, whether you're male or female, don't matter. You're the Son of God, and the same Spirit that was in Christ is in you. And friend, when you get those two understandings, there is nothing that can stop you. You could lead your whole family to Christ. You could lead your whole office to Christ in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As I stand here now, there is flooding my mind people that I know that have just done supernatural things for God simply because they allowed that Spirit that was in them to begin to flow out. If you're in this room right now and you say, Father, I want to acknowledge the Spirit of Christ that is in me, the same Spirit of the Holy Spirit's in me, and I want to stand here. And what I'm asking you for today is that you use me, that you won't make me a prisoner of my flesh, but you will liberate me into the same Spirit that was in Christ, that I'll be able to quiet circumstances. I'll be able to take dominion over demon spirits. I'll be able to bring peace out of war and hatred and fighting, that I'll be able to heal sick people, that I'll be able to lead people to Christ. Yes, maybe even lead somebody to come back from the dead. I've had about three people that were as good as dead that I saw God. They called me to the old Nick's Hospital. Remember the old Nick's Hospital? I don't think it's even there anymore. It's downtown. There was a Pentecostal preacher there, and he was as good as dead. When I got there, his body was just swollen up. His neck, his face, his hands, just totally swollen. There'd been all kinds of people in there praying for him. And when I reached out and touched that preacher, that swelling went out of his body just like that. And he opened his eyes and said, Brother Fender, where am I? I said, you're in the Nick's Hospital. He said, what am I doing here? And within an hour, he was in his car headed back to New Braunfels, Texas. Friend, I'm telling you that God will use you in spite of you, because it's not your flesh. It's the Spirit that is in you, and that is the Spirit of Christ. You are the body of Christ. You are the miracle worker. You are the depository of the power of Almighty God, and you need to start claiming that. The Bible said the devil is an accuser of the brethren night and day, 24 hours a day. And if you listen to him, you will simply give in and say, well, I'm nothing. I can't do anything. But if you'll listen to the word of God, it'll stir up the gifts that's in you and say, the same Spirit that was in Christ is in me. And so I am able to do works that are beyond me, beyond my flesh.